recorded, man.
Yeah, I brother, like,
dig it.
Stop right on.
Hey, man, what's your name?
It's been years and years and years of us imposing upon other people, regardless of what the more peaceful population thought. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Humans have a tendency towards violence. Anyways.
We have no power to stop it.
I think it would take everyone to stop it. At this point, it's really difficult for me to make any kind of decision, because in a lot of ways I tend to feel like it's futile, and it just kind of has to, you know, it's a fire that has to burn itself out pretty much. There don't seem to be very many options available to do anything about it, you know? I don't see enough changing in the world to really want to make a difference sometimes. There don't seem to be very many options available to do anything about it, you know? Talk to me so you
can see what's going on. Do you feel that you are represented well in government and with what's going on right now?
I think there's so many issues going on in the government that if I were to sit here and think about each one, I'd drive myself crazy. The government is basically, I think, pretty corrupt and bias and has too much for me to even start thinking about. So I listen to the news and try to just take in as much as I feel like I want to.
Have you been, or would you ever get involved in any sort of, any issues that you feel passionate about?
I just don't feel the need to sit here and try to really analyze and think and listen to every little thing that goes in and out of the news, especially since I am a journalism major and I do know what news is about. I think many students and a lot of liberal people don't feel like we should go to war, but we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. I think that we should go to war. I think that it's going to be impossible to find Saddam, and I think we're wasting time, and our time and money should be put into other kinds of issues. Taking all our military to go out and fight a war, to go fight for Saddam, who we probably won't find. I'm not anti-war, but I don't see too much reason why we need to go fight a war and put all our time and money into this war. I try to listen to CNN or MSNBC and try to read the headlines of the news sometimes if I have time, but I'm a student, I don't have a lot of time. I don't think I'm informed. I don't think I'm informed really at all. I'm informed, but I just don't know. I don't really know if we're gonna try to go onto their soil and fight for the reasons that the government is telling us we're gonna fight for. I think it might have to do with other things, such as oil and money and other kinds of things.
Imagine this world with no oppression and no need to dabble in greed and transgression. The solution for murder and prostitution never glorified as pollution on television, corrupt an entire nation. Explicit images never freeing with me, regardless of proven innocence. Turning to crime and not using intelligence. What makes me wonder sometimes, are we in hell or inches away from confronting the powers that
I'm pretty much completely opposed to the pending and or, you know, war that exists always, and I'm pretty much opposed to most of our foreign policy in general. We tend to do things that benefit us and not others. As far as the not being enough of a movement, it's kind of like the not in our backyard policy, where people are willing to deal with saving Tibet or saving this, that, or the other, but then, you know, it's kind of like, then again, if you don't have to see it, you don't have to worry about it. If it were, if bombs are dropping here in, like, Iraq and you know, millions, you know, hundreds of thousands of children were dying because of sanctions imposed upon us, and we had to see that every day, it would be a lot different. There would be a lot more resistance. We don't have to see that. And while people are so pacified and comfortable, it won't really happen. You can hope that, like, this consciousness will evolve to such a degree that people will be like, this is wrong. But unfortunately, people don't trip out on things until it's in their face. And really, I don't want to be like the apocalyptic, you know, but I think it's going to take the comfort bubble being burst for most people, for Americans to really step out of that, you know? I mean, like, our gasoline should cost $5 a gallon. The government subsidizes the rest, right? If people had to pay full price for their gas, there's going to be hell to pay. There's going to be an uprising. We're, you know, the government's subsidizing our comfort, and if for some reason that ever falls short, some people are going to be upset. When people that don't make under, you know, $100,000 a year can afford, you know, can't afford gas or something, it'll be different. It'll be a whole different ballgame. But I would like to be more involved than I am, and I wonder at what level, you know, it would take for me to be, you know, shouting hellfire and brimstone on the street corner, you know.
What would it take?
I don't know, I'm probably falling into the same category, you know, I'm pacified, you know, I'm educated and I think about these things, but I you know, enjoy a relative comfort in this Western world I live in, and, you know, I think about it, then I live my life, I gotta, you know, go to school, do my job, do my thing, so it's kind of like trapped in the mundane, but I think if I, you know, I think if I were seeing it in my face, you know, this something, you know, an atrocity, that would be pretty much, you know, because globally it's everywhere, you know, I mean, it's Iraq, it's all over. Here, if it were here, you know, then that's like direct action. Always coming, my people, so stay awake. Then that's like direct action. Because globally, it's everywhere. Thousands of children were dying because of sanctions imposed upon us, and we had to see that every day, it would be a lot different. Well, we tend to do things that benefit us and not others. It'll be different. It'll be a whole different ballgame.
I'm anti-violent, anti-war, you know, it's pretty useless, gets nowhere, especially when it's all tied to greed. I mean, I think everything in war is greed, you know, it comes down to some misunderstanding of the whole, and there's a lot of propaganda in it all, so I don't feel necessary. I mean, I have my rights in myself, but it's what I choose to do and act upon, and, you know, as myself, I do not put in the energy of negative violence, so. It's no use after crying. It's pretty useless, gets nowhere, especially when it's all tied to greed. It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
I want to talk about this fucked up government. It's no longer we the people. Government has separated itself from the people. So it's not my government anymore. I can't respect the government. And you know what? The motherfucking Marines running around with M16s, man. They ain't Marines. They working for Shell straight. And in 20 years, our oil supply is going to run out. We can make cars that run off of water using hydrogen and oxygen and breaking it down into an efficient fuel that'll go faster than the cars that we got now. But no, they want to hold on to the oil because that's where the money's at now. He's not the only one. I'm saying it's a mistake. It's no longer we the people. Government has separated itself from the people.
Disturbed by it for many reasons. You know, I feel as though President Bush, especially in the administration, is going way beyond their limits, not working with other countries, not looking at the people of Iraq and other people in the world. I have been involved in all the rallies I can be involved in, and the meetings, and letters, and things like that. And unfortunately, I haven't seen much that proves that we have been, you know, successful. And I'm hoping we are moving towards, you know, something. I, from the media, haven't seen anything. I enjoy getting together with people and having the same reason for doing so. But in terms of if we're getting anywhere, I really don't feel like it. It's incredible, actually, and I'm surprised because even some of the ones that have been on weekdays where I know I can't make often, it's been 100 or so people.
I'm basically very fearful. So much has happened to try to avert this war, and occasionally I get my hopes and expectations up, and I don't want to go too far in that direction and think that we're so powerful that we can disrupt this war machine, and before you know it, war is upon us. And we've been caught unexpectedly. So, unfortunately, I'm expecting it to happen. And somehow I want to try to prepare myself emotionally and physically and people around me in my life to say, okay, this is likely happening. And how are we going to respond to this? How are we going to take care of each other through this thing? And how are we going to get even stronger in opposing this thing if war actually begins? It's a tremendous emotional cost, especially with the latest attack plans that I've heard, where in the first day they want to do more damage than what was done in the whole World War II or the entire Gulf War campaign in 1991. Just totally intimidate the people of that country, and that's beyond belief. If that actually takes place, and we're here and we feel that there's nothing we can do about that, it's a tremendous feeling of helplessness. So somehow just to look at that and deal with that. I do not at all think that it's futile. And I know they're listening. I know we're making an impact. The question is, to what extent are we making an impact? If they're dead set on doing this thing, regardless of public opinion, thinking that they're going to catch up with public opinion later down the road towards election time, then they're really not going to be so affected by what we're doing.
I teach fifth grade. We've been talking about the possible war in Iraq all year, and all of a sudden, my students are starting to become more independent in the ways that they try to inform themselves and question it and wonder why. I think they are very smart and wondering why it is, because they don't understand the reasons, and they fully understand the consequences of this war. So I'm trying to remain optimistic. I'm hopeful that we can send, you know, rice and not bombs to Iraq, and I'm hopeful for peace.
Wearing this this button around that says no war. It's like, are we really asking for no war, or what are we asking for? Are we asking for peace? You know, I mean, because if we hold that positive attitude, then we can transform. You know, we can like create peace as opposed to like rejecting something, rejecting anything, you know. And of course we want to reject war, but what do we want to create in its place? Yeah, proactive, and wanting to do it like here and now, you know, on a local level, because like I can like spend all my time going to protests and doing that whole thing and like being really in the center of the political environment, or I can create change in the people around me, you know. And I think that's what this is about, you know. Like, real public radio is about creating change in the people around you, you know. Like, I totally feel that.
Yeah, so definitely the war is on my mind, probably on everybody else's mind. I really hope it doesn't happen, but I gotta say, I really like to see all the people out in the street, man. I really appreciate seeing what it's done for the grassroots movement in this country, and I hope that that continues to keep going, whether the war happens or not. Too bad it had to get to that, you know, but, you know, that's what has to happen. I think the American people are a little bit unaware of what actually is propelling this whole thing. I see blood for oil on signs, you know, and I quit driving my car and sold it like 26 years ago because I didn't want to be involved in this blood for oil, and I just saw it on the streets. I saw 46,000 people a year, Americans, dying in auto crashes, you know. And I saw the water that was polluted, and I saw people losing their health because they drove everywhere instead of propelled themselves, you know. And to see it all coming around now is like, to see signs that say no blood for oil and these giant protests is just like, I mean, I can't help but be kind of happy about, be a little giddy about the whole thing, you know. But
also, the Europeans are coming out against it. France today just said they wouldn't go along with it. Germany said that a long time ago. France yesterday, today, said they wouldn't go along with it. Also, if a war does happen, it could really backfire on Bush, because I think Hussein's forces, especially the Republican Guard, which is loyal to him, will retreat to Baghdad. And if the U.S. has to fight street, house to house in Baghdad, there's going to be a lot of American casualties, a lot of American dead. And when Americans start seeing American boys coming home with body bags, I think we'll turn them against the war and possibly against Bush. So.
In the long run, we make a dent, our numbers continue to grow. If we don't circumvent this war at this point in time, then well down the road, if our numbers grow, we can have even more influence. If not right now in terms of decisions being made in the Oval Office, then at least when it comes down to election time where we can control where we cast our votes.
Well, I'm uncharacteristically optimistic. I think back to, I think it was 1970 when the big anti-war protests happened, and Richard Nixon said he was not listening to them. They were just rabbling the streets. But it came out in his biography that he actually was listening, and he had planned to drop an atomic bomb or nuclear bomb on Hanoi if they didn't come to the bargaining table. but all those protesters convinced him that he didn't have the popular support to get away with it, so he didn't do it. So that's the best example I can think of a popular anti-war movement having a positive effect.
What if everyone that went to protest in D.C. actually flew to Iraq and we became this human shield against bombing?
Through this same brainwave, we can see the future and know the rocks in the road and go around them.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen much that proves that we have been, you know, successful, and I'm hoping we are moving towards, you know, something.
So, unfortunately, I'm expecting it to happen, but somehow I'm going to try to prepare myself emotionally and physically and people around me in my life to say, okay, this is likely happening, and how are we going to respond to this? How are we going to take care of each other through this thing? And how are we going to get even stronger in opposing this thing?
There don't seem to be very many options available to do anything about it, you know?
You know, hundreds of thousands of children are dying because of sanctions imposed upon us. And we had to see that every day, it would be a lot different.
It's no longer we the people. Government has separated itself from the people.
I think the American people are a little bit unaware of what actually is propelling this whole thing.
It's pretty useless, gets nowhere, especially when it's all tied to greed.
The government says that's not our problem.
We're totally against the war. We're going to protest at every rally possible.
Through this same brainwave, we can see the future and know the rocks in the road and go around them.
It'll be different. It'll be a whole different ballgame.
For more information about the peace movement in Boulder, contact the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center at 303-444-6981 or online at rmpjc.org. This has been a production of Real Public Radio News in affiliation with KBFR 95.3 FM Boulder. Check us out online at kbfr.org.